Turn to Romans chapter 9. I know I always preach on that. Although I don't, but actually I'm going to begin in verse 30. Does that surprise you? Romans 9 and verse 30. I'm going to read several verses. But I say to everyone here, as I read these verses, listen to these words. May it be even above and beyond that, may it be that God give us ears to hear and hearts to perceive His truth. Paul is continuing and asks this question in verse 30 of chapter 9. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, this is God speaking here, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Amen. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Amen. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth.
Amen.
For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. My message this morning is the word of faith which we preach.
Amen.
But before I speak of that, before I engage in that itself, let us consider a few preliminary observations before we look at the word of faith. I'll give you 10 things. First of all, religious zeal alone is never enough.
Try.
Never. Our world is permeated by the fact that men just need to be religious.
Wow.
Paul stomps that into the ground. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He cared about his kinfolk.
Yes, he did.
He cared about his kinfolk. For I bear them record. What? That they have a zeal of God.
Oh, yeah.
Even the one true and living God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Not Allah.
Uh-huh.
Not Buddha. Uh-huh. Not Muhammad. The one true and living God. They had a zeal toward him. But it wasn't according to knowledge.
Exactly.
For they being what? Ignorant of God's righteousness.
Yes.
Religious zeal alone is never enough. As a matter of fact, it may well be damning to the soul.
You're right.
It may well add nothing more than more condemnation to a man or a woman's state. Secondly, the righteous God demands... The righteousness God demands must be bowed to.
Yes, sir.
Joe mentioned, you see it?
Yeah.
For they have not what? Submitted. Subjugated. Now you know what that means. It means not only to bow to, but to be bowed to.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm here to tell you, that's what it takes for any man or woman, any fallen son or daughter of Adam, to bow down to God's righteousness is for God to subjugate them, to bring them down. Ask Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, that's right.
Proud.
Oh, yeah.
Proud king. He was king over all Babylon. He was as God to those people. Mason, what he said went. And he didn't have to prove it to anybody. Because if you crossed him, what did he do? He threw you, in one case, into a burning fiery furnace. Right?
Oh, yeah.
If you didn't fall down and worship his gods.
Yeah.
And yet God brought that rebel down.
Swear
to where he said that everyone that walks in pride, he is able to abase. So why is it so many thousands still walk in pride? Not because God's not able.
Right.
It can only be because he's not willing to.
Exactly.
Because when God is both, no, since God is able,
yeah,
when he is willing, if he is willing, he will bow you down.
Exactly.
That's the God we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's the God of the Bible. That's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is not just salvation, in other words, not just bowing to historical facts. It's submitting. Which lets us know there is a conscientious, willing, lovingness about it, though.
Yes, sir.
God doesn't drag men and women to glory kicking and screaming.
No.
He takes them to glory singing all the way of his praises and his majesty and his
Amen.
Mercy and his compassion and his grace.
Amen.
They're glad to have it so.
Yes. Right.
Somebody says, I don't like that. If God ever calls you, if God ever brings you down, you'll love it. You'll love it. This is not just about historical facts. Thirdly, the righteousness God demands is a person.
Amen.
Job told us that. See? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That's the very righteousness that men bow down to. Are subjugated to, that God brings you. God will bow you to Christ, or you've never been bowed to God.
Exactly.
This ain't about accepting the facts of Jesus historically. This is about bowing down at the feet of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's about. What it's about. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, but only to everyone that believeth.
Amen.
Number four, God made this person a stumbling stone to some.
Yes.
You read it? We read it right here.
Oh, yeah.
Behold, I lay.
Yeah.
God's saying, put your sights on this. Behold, I lay in Zion, what? A stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Jesus Christ is not good news to everybody.
That's right. You're right.
Go tell them about him. Who he really is.
Yeah.
And you'll soon find out.
You're right. Yeah.
They're offended at who he really is.
Yeah.
They stumble over who he really is.
Oh, yeah.
They trip over the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And here's the point. God meant it to be so.
Amen. That's right.
No man, no woman has God Almighty over a barrel.
That's right.
God is not waiting to see what men will do with his son. God is bowing down a people to his son. And the rest of the rebels, he's letting them go.
Amen.
Leaving to them to themselves. And God ordained it that way. Number five, law righteousness demands personal perfection of life.
Yes, sir.
You see that in verse 5.
Yeah, exactly.
Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. If you want to be perfect before God in the law, you can't mess up one time.
That's it. You're right.
The law is not your best shot.
Yeah.
It's not your best attempt. The law demands absolute perfection.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And I don't have that.
That's it.
You don't have that.
You're right.
Even if you think you do. I know better about me, and I know better about you.
There you go. That's
but
right.
Thank God some of us know better than that.
Yeah.
And I want to put it this way, for the sake of argument. The more I try to keep the law, the worse off I see myself as.
That's exactly right.
Because God says, even remember the Sabbath day, and that was yesterday.
Yeah.
And I went to the pool yesterday. Oh, that's right. I probably shouldn't mention that, should I? It's, you know, it's been said that some of you wear your hems too high and your collars too low. You can ask me later about that one. God's law demands absolute perfection.
Amen.
Absolute perfection. Where do I find that? Not in my works, not in my efforts. I find that in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Sir.
That's where I find absolute perfection. Joe, he loved his neighbor as himself, and that is a tall order for him.
Yes, sir.
Well, he was God manifest in the flesh.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
He has the right to hate. But Paul, you read it. We see it even here in Romans chapter 9. We may read it here in a moment. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. And I do recall what Don said down there at Cape Girardeau. He said, that's so simple, yet men confound it, rebel against it. If I told you I love Joe Galusik, but I hate Roy Jr., you know exactly what I mean. And when God says, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated, you know God means exactly what he says.
Exactly.
And the marvel is not, how could God hate Esau? That's not the marvel. The marvel is, how could a holy, thrice holy, righteous God love a Jacob?
Exactly. That's right.
How could he love someone like me? Yet God loves a people.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Who are like that.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Number six. The righteousness which is of faith is not initiated by human action.
Yeah.
Look at verse 20. Oh, I'm going to get over in chapter 10. Verse 20 of chapter 10. But Isaiah is very bold.
Amen.
He just comes right out and says it.
Yeah.
But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that, what's that say? Sought me not.
Amen.
I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Thank God. Whether you can right now today or not, thank God it don't depend on you putting
Amen.
Forth the initiation.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Even though many in this world that call themselves Christians hate that very truth, that's their only hope.
Exactly.
Is that God Almighty will initiate this thing.
Yeah, that's it.
Because Paul has been clear in chapter 3, there is none that seeketh after God.
Amen.
Seeketh after religion, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Seeketh after their idea about God, yeah. Seek to bring their own righteousness before God, yes.
All the time.
But they don't seek after the one true and living God. And what? Bow down before Him. So much so that even the beloved Apostle John. Now think about this. We say these things, but he leaned on Christ's breast at the Last Supper. Remember? It's like he was just there leaning up against Him, Joe. And I don't know this to be a fact, but I wonder if laying that close, maybe he could even hear Christ's heartbeat. That's a close relationship, is it not? And yet that very John, after Christ is exalted and sitting upon the throne of His glory, when John sees Him on the Isle of Patmos, what did John do? What happened to him? He said, I fell down at His feet as one dead. You know why? Because He's the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth.
Amen.
He's not your buddy.
But
your best hope is your brother.
Amen.
Your best hope is your elder brother.
Exactly.
Your representative, your substitute.
Yes.
The federal head of all of God's people. Number 7. The righteousness which is of faith is not gained by physical senses. You can't get up to heaven to get a hold of Him.
Right.
You can't go down into the grave to try to get a hold of Him. In other words, this is not about a physical thing. People actually tell, come forward and you can get saved. That's a lie.
Yeah.
Christ is found in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And only in the gospel.
Yeah,
you don't find Him at the front of the building.
That's right.
Number 8. The righteousness which is of faith is attained the same way for all who do attain unto it. Verse 12 and 13 of chapter 10. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all. Now He's Lord over all, without exception, even though they fight against it and kick against it. But He's Lord over all. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all what? That call upon Him. For whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord. This is not about merely repeating His name. Oh Jesus. Even oh Lord Jesus. Even oh Lord Jesus Christ. Just save me. He's not a lucky rabbit's foot.
Exactly.
This is not a chant that you go through.
Yeah.
The Muslims are not the only ones that are chanting.
Right.
Thousands of so-called Christians do it too. And they think this because they say, oh, just ask Jesus to save me. Remember, our Lord said there will be many who will come to me one day and they're going to knock and say, Lord, let us in. And He's going to say, no.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
That's what it said.
We preached in Your name. We did many wonderful works in Your name. We cast out devils in Your name. And He never says to them, no, you are liars.
No, no word.
He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
Amen.
That is frightening to me.
Yes, sir, it is.
This thing is not as simple as people like to make it. They come forward and make a decision.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't work that way. Number 9. No believer is ashamed of Him who is God's righteousness. You will be ashamed of yourself.
Yes, that's right.
And you will continue, even as a believer, to find shame in yourself. You will fail God. Not you might fail God. You will fail God. Micah the prophet said, when I fall. Not if I fall.
Yeah, that's right.
When I fall. What? God Almighty has me in His sovereign hand. He will lift me up.
Amen.
That's my only hope. And I'll tell you this, although I'm ashamed of myself, although oftentimes I'm ashamed of what I know, I think I know things. Sometimes in Neil, I've been trying to preach for 32 years this gospel, and I still really read things. I think, man, I missed that altogether for 30 years.
Exactly.
But I'm not ashamed of Him.
Amen.
I may sometimes be afraid in front of men because what I think they might do to me because of Him, because of how I hold to Him. But I'm not ashamed of Him.
Exactly.
And may it be that David Wright, if this is true, He'll give me grace to never be ashamed of Him. Even all the way unto death.
Exactly.
But He's going to have to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have the stamina to do it.
No.
I don't have the ability to do it. Number 10. No one ever is saved. Listen to me now. No one is ever saved outside of God's ordained order. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And it means exactly what it says. But look, most people quote that, and quote so-called Christians quote that, so-called preachers quote that, and they always stop right there. Why? They're just getting you, they're trying to get you to make some decision.
That's right.
What does this say? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You got to believe first.
That's what it says.
If you call without believing, it's going to add to your condemnation and nothing else.
That's
exactly. Right?
Yeah.
How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? Everyone here this morning, you're here because God Almighty ordained you to be here to hear what you heard this morning. Whether it's your salvation or damnation, you're here to hear this message. But anybody who's ever going to believe, God's going to have to send somebody to you with that message in some form. It may not be preaching exactly like I'm doing. It may be Neil preaching through reading a message that a man preached 200 years ago and they wrote it down. And you may read that. You may pick up this Bible and read it and read a message preached by. That's still preaching, is it not?
Yes, sir.
But preaching must take place. But God's not dependent upon the preacher.
Exactly.
But God's ordained to use the preacher.
That's it.
But God doesn't depend upon. Ask Jonah.
Yeah, exactly.
God wants you to tell somebody about the truth. Bless God, you're going to tell them about the truth.
That's exactly right.
Just go visit old brother Noah. He'll say, yeah, that's how it is. You can run all you want. What you're going to do, you'll never run away from God. You will run right smack square into God.
Yes, sir.
And he will stand in your path. And he will cross your path. And he will make you say what he has sent you to say.
Oh, yeah.
But there's also some hope here. If you ever spoke to someone about Christ and then later said, boy, what a miserable job I did at that. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
But your feet are beautiful nonetheless.
There you go.
Huh?
That's right.
You see it? This is how God sees you. It ain't about how you see yourself. God uses, what does Paul call it? Clay pots.
Yeah.
And folks, we're not talking about a clay pot you put up on a shelf, put nice flowers in. You know the kind of clay pot he's talking about, don't you? It's the one you kept under your bed at night when you had to get up and do your business in it. That's the kind of clay pot. That's what I am.
Exactly.
Just a clay pot.
That's right.
A urinal.
Yeah.
Is that too strong? No. That's what we are. But look, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Why? Because God's ordained it that way.
Exactly.
And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. That's all it takes. It's not how shall they preach except they go to theology school first. Right? And I'm not being smart, Alec. It's just a fact. The only thing it takes is for God to send you.
That's exactly right.
It doesn't matter how much you know, you can at least express what God's done for you.
Exactly.
Right? Where you was, where he's brought you to, who you believe in, who you're not ashamed of, who you've bowed before.
Amen.
Who you love.
There you go.
No one is ever saved outside of God's ordained order. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I don't know if I can explain that with any kind of illustration, but I'm saying this is the way God sees those he sends.
That's right.
That's amazing.
Yep.
That's amazing to me. Now let me give you a summary of these 10 things before we engage the word of faith. I guess I could have just stopped there, but I'm not going to. We'll summarize these things with these four statements. There is no honor. There is no acceptance. There is no salvation before God by our human actions.
That's right.
Because faith is not a human action.
Exactly.
Faith is a gift of the sovereign God to an individual. Faith is called the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Faith is called the operation of God in Colossians. Faith is the gift of God, as you quoted to us, Joe. Faith is not a human action. It's a divine characteristic. It's a divine fruit.
Yeah. Amen.
The faith with which I believe God is of divine origin.
That's exactly right.
Not of human origin.
That's right.
God's not asking us to work up faith. He sends it down, you might say.
Amen.
You see, that's the only way it ever happens. There is no honor, no acceptance, no salvation before God by our human, any human action. Well, I went forward and believed. I prayed the prayer. That's not what this says. Is it? You don't even have to be in a church building for this to take place. You know where you got to be? In the path of that person that God sent to you.
Right.
And God's going to make sure y'all cross paths. And you'll hear that message and something will change about you. You'll begin to see yourself in light where you begin to say, wherefore I abhor myself.
Yeah.
I repent in dust and ashes. But you'll also say, I've heard of you with the hearing of my ear, but now mine eye seeth. In other words, I'm starting to really get it now. Who you are. Everybody thinks they already know about God.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't.
Exactly.
It says, chapter 3, there's no knowledge. Yeah. No fear.
You're right.
Of God. Right? Here's the second thing. To seek such is an affront to God's Christ. He is God's righteousness.
Amen.
We are accepted in the Beloved and nowhere else. Yes, God's people are called unto good works. We're zealous of good works. God before ordained the very good works that we walk in, but they are the result of God's salvation. They are not the grounds of it. Human action and even good works are neither the grounds of justification or sanctification or holiness. All of that is found in Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Here's the third summary. God accepts only the righteousness of His Son. Right. It's the only kind that God can accept. Perfect, absolute righteousness.
Exactly.
Our problem by nature is we hate what God accepts. We don't want to bow down to submit to who God accepts.
Exactly.
He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And even our Lord had the right to say, I do always those things that please the Father.
Amen.
There's someone you can lean on.
Yes, sir.
You remember the Beloved in Song of Solomon? I think it's chapter 8. Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness? Still in it.
Yeah.
Still in the wilderness, but coming up out of the wilderness. What? Leaning on her Beloved.
There you go.
When you lean on somebody, it means you got to be pretty close, don't
That's
you?
Exactly right.
And what does that woman do? She leans on her Beloved. Number 4, God saves only those who believe in His Son. God saves only those who submit to His Son. God saves only those who are not ashamed of His Son. Now that's a whole lot more than just coming to the front and praying a prayer. Now is it not? But that's what this teaches.
Yes, sir.
And these lying preachers and lying churches will give you little pieces and parts trying to make, and what they do, they're making merchandise of your soul.
Yes, that's right.
They're getting you to do that. You know why? Because they want you to put money in their box or in their plate.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they're doing. The book says they'll make merchandise of your soul.
Exactly.
I'm not preaching to this to anyone here because I'm angry with anyone. What did you say? I am a debtor.
Yes.
Right before the passage you read, I'm a debtor. Why? Because God saved me by His free reigning grace.
Exactly.
You know? And I know I am no better even right now than anyone else out there that even doesn't believe.
Right.
I may be different now. But I'm still no better than they are.
Exactly. That's it.
God say, listen to me. God saves only those who believe in His Son. Only those who submit to His Son. Only those who are not ashamed of His Son. Those three graces go together. There's a lot of people who believe in Jesus. But He's just the fire escape.
Yeah.
Just my way to get out of hell.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it amazing? You got some people who want to go to heaven and be with Christ and God's people forever, but they don't want to be with Christ and God's people in the assembly, and yet they still want to talk about how they're a child of God.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Right.
I mean, you want to live with the world and be like the world and feast upon the world now, but yet one day I want to go to heaven and be with all those people. You're deceived.
There you go.
Because everybody who's going to be with them then wants to be. They may not can always be, but wants to be with them now.
There you go.
We'll strive for it now. We'll spend money on it now. We'll put forth effort for it now. Why? Because they're not ashamed of Christ.
Exactly.
They believe Him. And they bow to Him. These three gracious gifts of God to His people comprise the word of faith. Believe, submit, rejoice in. Not be ashamed. See it now in its detail, the word of faith. The word of faith is manifested outwardly as confessed by the mouth, because Christ is believed in the heart and adored inwardly. It's not about accepting Jesus. It's about bowing down before Him, submitting to Him, loving Him, adoring Him. If your belief is anything short of that, it's nothing more than human belief, and you're damned. You're still damned in that. And this is what he says. Look at it, verse 8 and 9. But what is it? That is this word of faith. But what is it? The word is by thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Who? Not Jesus. The Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That word Lord encompasses the whole gamut.
Yes,
He's
sir.
On the throne. He is absolutely sovereign. He is not only in control of everything. Everything that ever happens, He ordained it, good or evil.
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing can come to pass in this world what God Almighty in the person of His Son didn't ordain in the sovereign purpose of God.
That's right.
You remember Joseph's sons?
Oh, yeah.
Joseph's brothers. Some of them were going to kill Him.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
But one of the brothers said, no, let's not do that.
Yeah.
And they put him in a pit and was going to let him die on his own is what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But then, guess what?
Yeah.
Some Muslims come along. Now, wait a minute. Maybe they weren't that yet. But some Ishmaelites.
Yeah.
That's what they became later.
Yeah.
Muslims.
Yeah.
900 AD, as we call it, whatever. Some Ishmaelites come along. And it's sell it, make a little money off this thing. And after all this is said and done, when Joseph has his brethren before him, and Joseph stands in the place of Pharaoh.
That's right.
They don't recognize who he is right at this time. But once he finally reveals himself to them, what did he say? You meant this for evil.
Yeah.
God meant it for good.
Amen.
Not God turned it around. No, it's more than that. God meant it for good. God's in control even of Satan himself.
Yeah.
Satan can't spit lest God says so.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
And he spits out his behemoth trash all the time. And he's got preachers that look very much just like me this very moment out there lying for him everywhere.
You're right.
But I say that for this point. It is at this point that false Christianity rears its ugly head with its man-centered, anti-God teaching. False Christianity teaches, yes, we must preach, but we must use whatever means is possible to get people to believe, right? Now, God says preaching's all it takes.
That's right.
Isn't that what He says here?
Yes,
when it comes
sir.
To that,
yeah.
Preaching's all it takes. But yet, religion says we've got to go beyond preaching, though. We've got to beg, or maybe we browbeat. Or maybe we threaten with hell.
Yeah.
Men are never told to follow Christ by the threat of hell.
That's right.
They are warned about hell.
Yes, sir.
They're warned about God's judgment and wrath to come.
Yes,
but never, here's the reason you all, he said, just flee from the wrath to come.
Yeah.
Even John the Baptist, a bunch of guys come to him one day, he said, who warned you to flee?
That's right.
You bunch of snakes. That's what he called them.
Right.
And you're a bunch of dead corpses. What a great, lovely, friendly preacher he was. No, I'm saying false Christianity says this. We use emotional tactics to get people to make decisions. Because after all, it's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? Yes, but it has to come with all of it here. God's got to send somebody to you to preach the gospel of Christ to you. And He's got to cause you to believe. Bow down and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's at this very point where they say, well, see, you say, it says confess with your mouth first and believe in your heart. Do you now know why they say, well, if we just get them forward, or if we can just get them to make that decision, you take the first step, God will meet you halfway. Right? So just say it with your mouth. And this is what they preach out there. You know this is true. If you'll just do that, if you'll come forward, pray the sinner's prayer, ask God to forgive you, tell him you believe in Jesus, then God will come in and do a work in your heart. Is that not exactly what they're teaching out there? But that's not what Paul's talking about. Why does he mention the mouth first? He gives the actual order in verse 10. For with the heart men believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So why did he speak about the mouth first in verses 8 and 9? Here's why. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But you don't know what's in here till it comes out here. You see? But it's got to be down in here first before it can truly. I mean, if you say it out here and it ain't already down in there, it's just words. It's just words. And that little simple detail is what they love to leave out. You know why? Because it puts God in absolute charge of who's saved and who's not.
That's exactly right.
Well, how do I know that? Well, look at what Proverbs says.
Yeah.
Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue. See the order?
Yeah.
What is from the Lord.
Amen.
God's got to start this work.
Yeah.
If you look at, I'm sorry, if you look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9, Solomon said, who can say I've made my own heart clean? You can't do that work. You can't clean up your own heart. The heart is abominable and filthy, wretchedly, desperately wicked. God gives, according to the testimony of Scripture, he gives a new heart.
Amen.
Remember the book of Acts and Lydia, that seller of purple? She was from Thyatira. She wasn't in Thyatira right at that time, but she was down by the riverbank where prayer was wont to be made. And what did it say? Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. That's exactly what he's talking about right here in chapter 9 and 10.
That's right.
That's it. Paul's detail is this. It has to start in the heart before saying it up here makes any difference.
Yeah.
But it's manifested first here to people around and everything else. The only way I know what you believe about Jesus Christ is if you tell me.
Right.
Because if I follow you around long enough, I'm going to see things that's going to make me wonder, do they really believe in Christ?
Right.
And the same thing goes with me if you watch me very long.
That's exactly right.
Huh? You're going to say, huh? Ding, there's a red flag. Red flags all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God Christ bore every red flag. You know? It does. Does it really matter? Yeah, it matters. Christ said the tree is either what it is. You know a tree by its fruit.
That's right.
But the fruit don't make it what it is. It is what it is. Yeah,
exactly.
But you recognize the tree by the fruit. If it's an apple tree, it don't bring forth pears. Right?
Yeah.
If it's an apple tree, it'll bring forth apples. If a person is a believer in here, they're going to talk like a believer out here.
That's true.
Perfectly? No, that's not the point. That's not what he's talking about. The one thing they're going to do, they're going to bow down to Christ, they're going to believe him, and they're going to love him. They'll not be ashamed of him.
Amen.
What takes place, what comes forth from the mouth, that manifests what we believe in the heart. The heart work must come first, and that is God's work and God's work alone.
Amen.
Preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is where? It's from the Lord. And what is it about Christ that every believer believes, confesses, and loves and adores? That he is Lord.
Yes.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, what? The Lord Jesus. You, listen, listen to your radio. Find those Christian preachers on the radio. Listen to people you work with talk who are religious, who are Christians, but then in quotes. And they always talk about Jesus, 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 Jesus. Don't they? But rarely do you ever hear them say, what? The Lord Jesus. Now, they'll say it on occasion, but the devils know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They know he's Lord. Remember that time Christ confronted several of them?
Yeah.
He cast them out of that one man? Or that we know who you are.
That's right.
Jesus, thou Son of God.
Yeah.
Did they not? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had to bow to him because he said, give us leave. Don't just cast. Because if he cast them out and they had no place to go, guess where they got to go?
Yeah.
To hell. That's right, to hell. And they said, put us over there in them pigs.
That's right.
And he suffered it to be so.
Yeah.
That was makes it at his sovereign discretion.
Exactly.
That was his sovereign discretion. He is the Lord Jesus. Go back and read chapter 9. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It is that God who showeth mercy. And I thank God it didn't depend on me.
Amen.
And as long as we're in our blinded state, we think, but I can do something. You can't do this.
That's right. That's it.
You can't. Can you bow to Christ?
Yeah.
Show me.
There you go.
You have to be bowed to Christ.
That's right.
Even when we bow and God crushes our pride into powder, you know what? Every particle of that powder still reeks with pride.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And isn't it amazing that one of the ways that the Scripture describes this believing and loving, not being ashamed, is to what? Submit. Submit. Who do you submit to? A king, a lord, yeah, a sovereign.
Yeah.
Right? That's who you bow down before. He is the Lord over mercy and compassion. Do I believe that? Do I bow to that? Am I ashamed of that? There's you an answer. That's where it's at. If you believe that in your heart, then your mouth will confess that.
Amen.
And also says what? And that we believe that what? God hath raised him from the dead. This is not a historical fact. Go back and read Peter's message in Acts chapter 2, specifically 21 through 40. The resurrection is proof that Jesus Christ was made Lord and Christ by God Almighty.
Amen.
That's the resurrection. That's what it was about. To prove who he really was. And who is he? That same Jesus, whom ye crucified, God hath made him to be both what? Lord and Christ. If you've got a Jesus that ain't them two things, you've got a false Jesus. You've listened to a Jesus out there from Antichrist religion. May call itself Christianity, but it ain't Christianity. The resurrection confirms that Jesus of Nazareth is both Lord and Christ. The devils know he was raised from the dead, don't they? The word of faith which we preach, what is it? It's all about Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ the Lord. It ain't about eternal salvation or once saved, always saved. It ain't about that. You bow down to Jesus Christ, you'll quit worrying about whether it'll always be so or not. You'll realize he's sovereign Lord. If he wants to have me in glory with him, he'll have me in glory with him. And if he don't want me in glory with him, I won't be in glory with him.
That's it. That's exactly.
And he'll be right either way.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
He'll be right. If he sends me to hell, Job, even though I preach about every Sunday, he'll still be right. My preaching don't gain me not one ounce of merit before God.
Yeah,
we're
right.
Preaching his merit. That song we said, in his merit, that's the only stand I know.
There you go.
That's a good stand.
Amen.
You see, believing God, bowing to Christ, submitting to Christ, not being ashamed, loving him, adoring him, that's a good thing.
Yes, sir.
That's a good thing. It's to honor God's Son. It's all about Christ Jesus the Lord. It's about believing in, bowing to, and loving that Jesus.
Yes.
There are imposters out there. Oh, the people don't see. Well, y'all, you're preaching the same Jesus as some of these other folks. No, we're not. It's not the same one. It's about believing in, bowing to, and loving Jesus Christ. Listen to those radios, TVs, whether see if they're preaching all of Romans chapter 10. No, they pick out little portions, just little verses, and say, now, just call on Jesus, everything will be fine. It just ain't so. And everyone who has been brought by God to believe in, to bow before, and to love Jesus Christ, they, every one of them, rejoice that it's that way.
Yes, sir.
Once it happens to them, they think, you know what? I used to hate that. But you know what? I love that now.
Yes, sir.
That's my only hope. That's why it's called good news. But Joe read the scripture. I didn't even have it in my notes, but Joe read the scripture. The good news we preach, and we ourselves, Joe was right, we ourselves, it's not good news to everybody. Because those who hate it or ashamed of it won't bow to it. If they die in that state, you know what I'm saying? If they die in that state, they will perish. And justly so. God will be honored just as much in that as He will be in the salvation of one. His grace will be honored in one, His wrath will be honored in the other. And at the end, there's going to be a group of people that when the great whore, which rides upon a beast, and it tells us many watered, it's people. And when those people are cast into the lake of fire, you know what it says we'll sing? Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's hard to say right now when I look at people, some people I care deeply about. And I want God to save them. But then I realize it may not be His purpose to save them. I may have a hard time, David, right, saying that right now. But I still know it's true.
Exactly.
I still know it's true. And one day, Mason, we'll sing it with glad hearts.
Right. Yeah.
Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing number 180.